Today, as we begin, if I have gone too fast with that particular charism that New Englanders have of speaking very quickly, and if you'd like to sort of study any of this or get any of the copies, just send me an email. I'm happy to send you my written conferences, and they'll also, the audio will be put up if you think that anyone in your communities would profit from it in any way. My email address would just be Father, all spelled out, Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y, at CatholicPreaching, one word, .com. Father Landry at CatholicPreaching.com. I'd be happy to share with you, and eventually in the next day or two, I'll put them up on CatholicPreaching.com and you'll see it. During his recent trip to Cuba, the U.S., and the United Nations, there were many important themes covered by Pope Francis. But the biggest theme of all, his highest priority in coming, was the family. When he became the first pope ever to speak to a joint session of Congress, he said, "It's my wish that throughout my visit, the family should be the recurrent theme." At the White House, he said he had come to celebrate and support the institutions of marriage and the family at this critical moment in the history of our civilization. In Philadelphia, when he met with bishops present for the World Meeting on Families, he said, "For the Church, the family is not first and foremost a cause for concern, but rather the joyous confirmation of God's blessing upon the masterpiece of creation. Every day all over the world, the Church can rejoice in the Lord's gift of so many families who even amid great trial remain faithful to their promises and keep the faith." And he added, "I'd say that the foremost pastoral challenge of our changing time is to move decisively toward recognizing this gift. For all the obstacles we see before us, gratitude and appreciation should prevail over concern and complaint. The family is the fundamental locus of the covenant between God, the Church, and God's creation. With that creation that God blessed on the last day with a family, without the family, not even the Church would exist." So Pope Francis came, as he said emphatically in Philadelphia, to proclaim the gospel of the family. John Paul II, many years ago, said that the family is the way of the Church, said that the future of humanity will pass by way of the family. And Pope Francis still recognizes this crucial importance. And John Paul II's insights have only become clearer and more urgent over time. When we look at Pope Francis' attention to the gospel of the family, we can see that it really is his major concern. When he's talking about mercy, he's trying to bring the family of the Church back together, to recognize that we've got so many prodigal sons and daughters out there. Something, the family, that Pope Francis speaks about regularly in his daily homilies and trips within Italy and around the world. It was his priority in his trip to Cuba, the U.S., and the U.N. It was the theme he chose for the first synod of bishops he would hold, which he entitled "The Vocation and Mission of the Family in the Church in the Contemporary World." And it was so important to him that he changed the structure of the synod to prepare for it with an extraordinary session last fall, leading into an ordinary one this October. And while there clearly was a Franciscan flavor to the deliberations of the Synod, to its relatio finalis, probably the easiest place to see Pope Francis' attention to the family and his thoughts about this gospel of the family has been his ongoing catechesis, now 31 editions and counting, of Wednesday catechetical audiences. He began the series last December 17th and introduced it by framing it within the context of the Synod journey. He said, "I'd also like the customary meditations of the Wednesday audience to be included in this common journey." Synodia is that word in Greek, from which we get the word synodus, or meeting. "I've therefore decided to reflect with you this year precisely on the family, on this great gift that the Lord has made to the world from the very beginning." And I think it's worthwhile at the beginning of this conference, before we start analyzing some takeaways, to give a survey of the themes to which he's dedicated these catecheses. Began by learning from the Holy Family what the family is. He then turned to the crucial role of mothers in children's lives and in civilization. Then he turned to the crucial importance of dads. We'll get back to that later. talked about children as gifts and the joy of both family and society. Talked about the importance of fraternity among siblings, the struggles of the elderly, the value and importance of grandparents, the importance of the complementarity between male and female, the beauty of Christian marriage, the importance of three expressions, permesso, may I, or please, grazie, thank you, e perdon, pardon me, forgive me, for familial peace. Talked about education as the essential and natural vocation of the family. The time of engagement is a period of mutual learning, refinement, and hard work. How poverty impacts the family. Described the family as the first hospital for those who are ill and suffering. He considered the consolation in the family at death and grieving the death of loved ones. He described the wounds that take place in the family and how those wounds are healed. He described work in the family and how the family is the first place where you celebrate work well done and rest from it. The Sabbath doesn't make sense without celebrating together with the family. The importance of prayer in the family, that as Father Peyton would say, the family that prays together stays together. Family that's not really praying together isn't really together, even if they're still cohabitating on the same roof. The connection between the family and the family of the church. The family is a blessing to the nations, continuing what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12. The need for the family spirit to get outside of the walls of the home and influence all of society. The importance of keeping promises within the family, especially to children. The way that the family lives off the promise of love and fidelity between husband and wife. Just last Wednesday, he spoke about the family as a school of forgiveness. The series continues, but we can see what he's doing. He's looking at the family from almost every conceivable angle, and looking at the reality of the church and the world from a familial key. He's trying to bring the whole world back to seeing the real beauty of the family. As I've done in other talks, I'm going to limit this nearly infinite buffet of food on the family to 10 manageable portions on our plate that I think it behooves us to digest. I think that these would not just be talking points, but contemplation points. First thing that Pope Francis stresses is the family is God's masterpiece. You know, there was a little bit of a criticism when the synod was taking place and when you looked at that working document that it was overly focused on the problems of the family today. And many of the synod fathers were basically saying we have to change the emphasis. And Pope Francis throughout has kept a totally different emphasis. He's mentioned this expression, the masterpiece of God, so many times. I'll just take what he said in April. The book of Genesis shows us that when God completes his work of creation and makes his masterpiece, that masterpiece is the union of man and woman. And here, at a marriage in Cana, Jesus works his first miracle within this masterpiece of a man and a woman. And Jesus teaches us that the masterpiece of society is a family, a woman and a man who love each other. This is the masterpiece. At the vigil in Philadelphia for the World Meeting on Families, as he was going a braccio, as he was extemporizing his real core of teaching, and many people said that it was the highlight of the visit, to really see how passionate he was about the topic, he said the most beautiful thing God made was the family. And a little later at that vigil, he said, the family is the living symbol of the loving plan that the Father dreamed. To want to form a family is to resolve to be part of God's dream. To choose to dream with Him, to want to build with Him, to join Him in the saga of building a world that no one will feel alone, unwanted, or homeless. But the first thing that Pope Francis is trying to get us all to echo with him is the original beauty and goodness of the family, of that dream of God, that He wants to give us the grace to make not a dream but reality. On that day, at the end of creation, God created man and woman and pronounced them very good. That's the starting point. Second, at the same time, the family is in crisis. From the first family at the beginning of time to every family today, the family is under attack. Before Congress, after stressing how essential the family has been to building up the United States, Pope Francis said, "I can't hide my concern for the family, which is threatened, perhaps as never before, from within and from without. Fundamental relationships are being called into question, as is the very basis of marriage in the family." In Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis stressed that the family's experiencing a profound cultural crisis, as are all communities and social bonds. The case of the family, the weakening of these bonds is particularly serious, because the family is the fundamental cell of society where we learn to live with others despite our differences and to belong to one another. It's also the place where parents pass on the faith to their children. When you read the Relatio Finalis, which unfortunately I can't figure out, I could translate the Relatio Finalis in 5 or 6 hours, and yet somehow it's taken weeks even to get something up. I don't quite know why that's the case at the end of the Synod on the Family, but if you read it, it talks about the crisis at a sociocultural level, at an anthropological level, at the cultural level, especially with regard to the gender theory and everything else that Pope Francis talks about. He talks about it at the level of social conflict and the rest. Don't have time in this, in the 10 minutes that we have before we're going to go upstairs to cover all of that. But when it comes on out, it's a very good summary of the crisis that's out there. But what's the solution to the crisis? Pope Francis says in one of those catecheses back in the Feast of the Annunciation, that we need to take on the compassion of the Good Shepherd for His flock, especially for people and families who for different reasons are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That in response to that great crisis out there, the Lord wants to give us His help so that we can help them rediscover God's dream. The third point is that the family is a school that has to be strengthened. And he uses this term school a lot. First, he calls it, with Gaudium and Spes, a school of humanity. Santiago de Cuba, he mentioned that the family is a school of humanity that teaches us to open our hearts to others' needs, to be attentive to their lives, etc. It's a school in which we become fully human. It's a school of fidelity, in which we learn how to be men and women of our word and also to trust somebody else. It's a school of love and mercy, which we sacrifice and forgive. It's a school of communion and fruitfulness. And it's a school for all of society. Pope Francis in October said that one could say that the family spirit is the constitutional charter for the church and how the church is supposed to be the salt, light, and leaven of society. To learn from the bonds of the family how to become teachers of the whole world about the type of communion that God intends. Fourth point is that the importance of preparation for people to be good teachers in that school requires adequate marriage preparation. Pope Francis has talked extensively about this in a catechesis in May, describing that period of engagement and how it's supposed to be a time of chastity that allows other virtues to form. The fathers, during the synod, were talking about beefing up marriage preparation and how urgent that is. In still a lot of places, it's just an 8-hour session where they go, and a lot of the times they don't spend nearly as much time with their priests as they need to, with couples within the parish as they need to. And so there were a lot of good ideas shared. But you know, over the course of these last 20 years, because so many candidates for the priesthood, for example, haven't received catechesis in the home adequately, we've extended priestly formation. When candidates for the priesthood enter pre-theology, for example, they have a year-long class on the catechism, because a lot of times the catechism hasn't been communicated. If that's the case for future priests, how much more is it for everybody else? You know, some were proposing the idea of a catechumenal path of marriage preparation, almost like a year-long project. That didn't make it into the final document, but it might make a reappearance. But there was clear language about the need to do what Pope John Paul II talked about in 1981, of doing remote preparation for marriage much better, far away, especially when kids are growing up. In proximate preparation, which is what we're doing in engagement and things like that, immediate preparation, when couples have already come to the priest as they're inching closer to their wedding date, we need to do all three of those with much greater commitment. And that's a summons for the entire church, because there's a reason why marriages are breaking down. It's because a lot of the times they don't really know what they're committing to. And that's got to be the commitment on the part of the entire church. The fifth he talks about is that there is a crisis of commitment to which the church needs to respond by showing the beauty of such a commitment. When he was speaking to the bishops in Philadelphia, he says that we need a bit of holy parrhesia, holy audacity on the part of bishops, to go up to ask people nicely, why aren't you married? And when they say, yes, I have a fiancé, but we don't know what date we're going to get married, yes, maybe no, we're saving money for the party, for this or that, he said this holy parrhesia to accompany them and make them grow toward a real commitment to marriage, because so many people are afraid of that commitment. A couple years ago at Mary Major, he went and he talked about how the church's mother needs to help children make definitive decisions with freedom, and how difficult it is, how scary it is to make that lifetime commitment. The church is one that's supposed to help people respond to the lifetime commitment we make to God, and in that commitment, to the commitments we make to God and to others in the sacraments. Sixth point I'd stress is the importance of children as a sign and agent of hope. Last week at the United Nations, you know, you had the demographers from all over the world come in to talk about the crisis of low birth rates because of abortion and contraception. China, as you know, changed a little bit its one-child policy, but now it's just a two-child policy. It's not really yet open to life, even though there's a massive disequilibrium between men and women in that culture, which is going to continue for the lifespan of the people of this young cohort. George Weigel talked in the Cube in the Cathedral about the demographic rates in Europe and how it was a sign of a lack of hope. Pope Francis back in February said, we have to consider the many societies we know here in Europe. They are depressed societies precisely because they don't want children. They're not having children. The birth rate doesn't even meet one. The replacement rate he's talking about there. Why? Let us each consider and respond. Not to have children is a self-centered choice. Life is rejuvenated and acquires energy by multiplying. It's enriched, not impoverished. That's part of this gospel of the family, is the children, even though they bring burdens with them, are fundamental gifts. And we ask every couple before they come to get married, will you receive children lovingly as a gift from God? Raise that child according to the law of Christ and His church, which is to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as Christ loved us. Seventh, Pope Francis talks about the importance of giving preferential care to the young and elderly in the family. That if we care for the young and we care for the old, everybody else will find their spot. There's a lot of homespun analogies of when that doesn't happen. Even when he was going to World Youth Day in Brazil, he talked about not just the young, but making sure that we connect the young and the old, the enthusiasm of the young and the wisdom of the old. And there's a great ecclesiological lesson there too. Eighth, he brings up the crisis of fatherhood, which the future Pope Benedict said in a 2000 speech was the most threatening element to man in his humanity. That we've lost a sense of who it means to be father. And the more we do that, the more it's difficult for us to relate to God as father. Pope Francis sketched out in two lengthy catecheses what this crisis is about. That even when fathers are present, a lot of the times they're not doing the work of dads. You might have a chance to read it later. Ninth, he talks about the necessity of caring for those who have entered into new and second unions. It's a vexing problem for the church and obviously for Pope Francis. What to do with all those who have divorced from their sacramentally married spouse and entered into another union with somebody while their first spouse is alive. He gave a catechesis of that back in August, in which he called us all to help people in these circumstances increasingly live and develop their membership in Christ and in the church through their prayer, by listening to God's word, by attending the liturgy, through Christian education of their children, through charity and service to the poor, through the commitment to justice and peace. It's noteworthy that he didn't mention receiving Holy Communion there, because there are plenty of ways of having some form of real communion with the church that doesn't get to the source and the summit of an entire life of communion, which comes from, as St. Justin Martyr said 1900 years ago, a doctrinal, a moral, and a sacramental communion. We need to be in communion of all three of those in order to be able to receive Christ in Holy Communion as the fruit of that threefold communion rather than as its cause. And then the tenth and last point, Pope Francis talks about the mission of the family. That the family is just not a recipient of the church's pastoral care, but the crucial agent in carrying out the church's mission of saving the world. He said that the best way a family does this, the most persuasive testimony, he says, is the good life of Christian spouses in the family. So many of the issues plaguing the family today is because many Catholic spouses have kept their familial life a little bit too much under the bushel basket, minding their own business, and Pope Francis is trying to rip that basket off. In conclusion for this part, and I'm sorry that I went a little bit fast, at the end of his address to bishops at the conclusion of the synod, he summarized everything that he was trying to do with an acrostic, a word the first letter of which symbolizes something important. And he did it on the acrostic of the word familia in Italian, family. He said what we need to do is we need to form new generations to experience love sincerely. We need to approach others with this gospel of the family. We need to manifest and bring God's mercy to families in need, especially those who are neglected. We need to illumine consciences that are often assailed by harmful and subtle dynamics that try to even replace God. We need to gain and humbly rebuild trust in the church that many have lost as a result of scandals. We need to labor intensely to sustain and encourage those many strong and faithful families that are there to be able to carry out their mission in the world. We need to invent renewed programs of pastoral care for the family that continues their whole life long. And we need to aim to love unconditionally all families, especially those experiencing difficulty, so that no family should ever feel alone or excluded from the church's loving embrace. That's our mission. The future of humanity passes by way of the family, which is why Pope Francis is focusing his attention so much on it and asking for us to make it that same priority. Praise be Jesus Christ.